Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Dana signs major water management contract. Louisiana-based Danos has secured a major production contract to oversee water management facilities in the Midland Basin. Under the contract with a pioneer in sustainable water management solutions, Danos will oversee approximately 60 of the midstream company's facilities. Danos will deploy a team of 21 production operators to support 12 lease areas on an ongoing basis. Danos executives tell the Reporter-Telegram there is the potential to grow and possibly double the team in the near future. The team will be responsible for treating the produced water and keeping it stored in facilities for several companies that were acquired by the customer. Water management is an area Danos has served, but officials told the Reporter-Telegram, water management is expected to quickly grow. Quote, the companies that have the water do not have capacity to deal with it, so Danos is able to offer services to manage the water assets, end quote, they told the Reporter-Telegram by email. The contract offers the opportunity for Danos to get a foot in the door with other companies, the officials wrote. This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter-Telegram Weekend Edition for Saturday, June 22nd, 2024. Elina Aguila wins Four-Star Leader Award in Midland. Upcoming senior at Midland High School, Elina Aguila has been awarded the Four-Star Leader Award at the Midland Midland Young Leaders Challenge. Aguila was awarded a $3,000 scholarship and earned a spot at the Four-Star Leadership Conference at the General Tommy Franks Institute in Oklahoma in July. The Franks Institute's Midland Young Leaders Challenge is a summer leadership program that offers 30 high school juniors in Midland County an experience to interact with prominent Midland leaders, including General Franks, their website says. Quote, the students and speakers were so great, end quote, Aguila said. Quote, it was really nice to network and meet students across Midland and interact with them and exchange ideas, end quote. The program focuses on challenging students to build skills such as persuasive communication, character, and leadership development. Quote, a lot of speakers talked about the importance of effective communication, end quote, Aquila said. Quote, that really resonated and helped me gain confidence in my public speaking, end quote. According to the Four-Star Leadership website, the program is built around General Frank's four stars of leadership: character, common vision, communication, and caring. Kip Colmina, soon to be senior at Legacy High, was also a scholarship recipient. He won the op-ed writing contest and earned a $1,000 scholarship. Aguila was one of 30 MISD students chosen to participate in the program, which was held June 12th through 13th, and had up to $6,000 in scholarships, along with offering a chance to advance to the National Conference in Oklahoma. At Midland High, Aguila is a member of the Spanish Honor Society, varsity cross country, and will serve as a senior class officer. She is currently participating in the Conservation Job Corps, a hands-on conservation internship program at the I-20 Wildlife Preserve. Aguila plans to pursue a career in conservation and wants to study environmental engineering in college.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the oil report from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Saturday, June 22nd. Study says pipeline constraints risk future production. The story was written by Mela McEwen, oil editor. Despite its long-held reputation as an oil play, the Permian Basin is becoming a major source of natural gas production. Enverus Intelligence Research, or EIR, a subsidiary of energy-dedicated software-as-a-service firm Enverus, decided to do a deep dive into the region's pipeline network. It was an effort Jason Veit, an advisor at EIR, and report author, told the Reporter-Telegram was difficult because of limited public information required by state regulators. Still, analysts persevered as they dug into the interstate and intrastate pipelines that comprise the Permian Basin pipeline network. Quote, what's most valuable is understanding, first, why there are issues with takeaway, and second, what happens going forward with natural gas takeaway, Feit said. The Permian, as with all plays with associated gas, gets gassier as it ages, he said. But where the Permian Basin differs from other basins is that Permian Basin natural gas is consumed within the state. It doesn't cross state lines and, therefore, is overseen by state regulators, the Railroad Commission, rather than the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Feit estimated 80% of Texas pipelines are intrastate, while the remainder are interstate pipelines, largely legacy pipelines headed to California or the Midwest. Quote, the benefit of being state-regulated is projects can move faster and are more economic, Feit said. In Texas, he said, a new pipeline project can be brought online in just a couple of years. A key takeaway from the report highlights that pipelines moving natural gas out of the Permian are at capacity, and that has had an impact on gas prices at the Waha hub in Reeves County. Feit noted that volatile Waha gas prices have the potential to spend more time below zero due to takeaway constraints. Pipelines are expected to remain at capacity until later this year, when the Matterhorn Express pipeline enters service. Feit noted that it is a large pipeline with a capacity of over 2 billion cubic feet per day. A second pipeline that has been proposed, the Dela Express, would take natural gas from the Permian Basin to the Gulf Coast. Feit said this project differs in that it is an interstate pipeline overseen by FERC because it would carry some natural gas into Louisiana. It is also a wet gas pipeline carrying natural gas and natural gas liquids. Feit pointed out that takeaway capacity in the Permian Basin remains tight. Whenever constraints are resolved, such as with the addition of the Matterhorn, constraints reappear after a couple of years. Quote, in our forecast, we see continued growth in natural gas production, and our forecast is for there to be again constraints in 2026, Feit said. He estimates close to a quarter of EIR's forecast of total Permian gas production for 2030 is at risk due to lack of existing and approved infrastructure to transport gas to consuming markets. Quote, another key takeaway is how long it takes for a pipeline project. There are four proposals for greenfield pipeline projects, and none have reached a final investment decision yet, he said. For a two-year timeline to get a pipeline into service, decisions need to be made very soon, within the next few months, end quote. Piñon Midstream receives approval of monitoring plan. The story was written by Mela McEwen, oil editor. Piñon Midstream's Dark Horse treating facility in Lee County, New Mexico, continues to receive government approval for expansion. Piñon recently commissioned its third train and received a new source review air permit from the New Mexico Environmental Department. Now the company has received approval from the Environmental Protection Agency for its monitoring, reporting, and verification plan for the permanent storage of carbon dioxide in its two acid gas injection wells at the Dark Horse facility. Both of Piñon's AGI wells, the Independence AGI No. 1 and Independence AGI No. 2, are Devonian wells reaching depths of approximately 18,000 feet or 3.4 miles below the surface into rock formations located several thousand feet below water aquifers and existing Delaware Basin oil and natural gas producing formations. The two AGI wells are permitted for a combined 20 million cubic feet per day of CO2 and hydrogen sulfide injection, which equates to about 250,000 metric tons of CO2 and about 110,000 metric tons of H2S annually based on current gas compositions. These two wells provide sequestration redundancy for Delaware Basin operators who use Piñon's scalable and centralized treatment and sequestration facility to mitigate flaring and unlock valuable drilling inventory in the area. Piñon's approved MRV plan, which became effective June 15th, provides a full description of technical procedures for sequestration, monitoring, and verification that have been put in place at the Dark Horse Treating Facility to ensure permanent sequestration. The approved MRV plan also satisfies a major requirement for Piñon's eligibility to receive 45Q and enhanced tax credits in accordance with the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. The tax credits for permanent sequestration are now $85 per ton under the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act. Quote, Piñon was founded to create sustainable and scalable sour gas infrastructure solutions, said Piñon's Chief Executive Officer, Stephen Green, in announcing the MRV approval. Quote, having now received both the MRV plan approval from the EPA and an NSR air permit from the state of New Mexico, and with our most recent capacity expansions up and running, we believe we are in position to become the Delaware Basin's leading sour gas treating and carbon management provider, Green said. From inception in August 2021 through 2023, Piñon has reduced the environmental impact of oil and natural gas production through the capture and permanent geologic sequestration of about 160,000 metric tons of CO2 and about 65,000 metric tons of H2S, which is the annual emissions equivalent of approximately 35,000 vehicles or 21,000 households. At its current operational rate, Piñon's Dark Horse Treating Facility is projected to capture and sequester more than 190,000 metric tons of CO2 and 90,000 metric tons of H2S over the next 12 months. TXOGA says Texas Energy continues its record-setting run. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Texas Energy continues on its record-setting run, according to the Texas Oil and Gas Association. TXOGA estimates the Lone Star State produced a record 5.7 million barrels of crude in May, plus 32.5 billion cubic feet per day of natural gas marketed production, and 3.5 million barrels per day of natural gas liquids. Quote, Texas's record-setting performance has continued so far this year on the heels of remarkable productivity gains, where, for example, rig productivity in May rose by more than 20% year over year by EIA estimates, said TXOGA's chief economist, Dean Foreman, in announcing the data. Continuing the quote, as a result, Texas has continued to gain market share amid U.S. oil and natural gas production through the first half of 2024. U.S. energy security increasingly depends on Texas, and Texas has stepped up like none other. End quote. Foreman estimated Texas produced 42.9% of U.S. crude oil and 28% of U.S. natural gas marketed production in the first half of 2024. Foreman projects that Texas's record-setting run will continue into June. His forecast is for Texas to produce 5.7 million barrels a day of crude oil, 3.6 million barrels a day of NGLs, and 32.4 billion cubic feet per day of natural gas marketed production. TXOGA also cited data from the Energy Information Administration for monthly records established by Texas in March. Crude oil production, 5.6 million barrels per day. Texas produced 28.2 BCF per day of dry natural gas in March 2024 by TXOGA's estimates. Natural gas gross withdrawals, 34.6 billion cubic feet per day. Record high NGL field production, 3.7 million barrels per day. Record high refinery activities, including net production of 5.5 million barrels per day. After Texas's petroleum products export exceeded 4 million barrels per day for the first time in December 2023, Texas has sustained its petroleum products exports above that level for 5 straight months. Texas also exported nearly $57 billion of petroleum products in the first quarter of 2024. TXOGA also found that the state's natural gas production was more than double in-state consumption in March. Texas consumers used 12.5 BCF per day, mainly for industry and electricity generation. Approximately 10.8 BCF per day was exported, including 7.1 BCF per day in the form of liquefied natural gas and 3.7 BCF per day via pipeline to Mexico, according to International Trade Commission data. Quote, "These new records are a testament to Texas's role as a national and global energy leader," said TXOGA President Todd Staples. "Amidst growing global instability and energy demand that is expected to nearly double by 2050, oil and natural gas continue to serve as the bedrock of our energy mix, providing affordable, reliable energy to meet our state, nation, and the world's needs," end quote. Danos signs major water management contract. The story was written by Mila McEwen, oil editor. Louisiana-based Danos has secured a major production contract to oversee water management facilities in the Midland Basin. Under the contract with a pioneer in sustainable water management solutions, Danos will oversee approximately 60 of the midstream company's facilities. Danos will deploy a team of 21 production operators to support 12 lease areas on an ongoing basis. Danos executives tell the Reporter Telegram there is the potential to grow and possibly double the team in the near future. The team will be responsible for treating the produced water and keeping it stored in facilities for several companies that were acquired by the customer. Water management is an area Danos has served, but officials told the Reporter Telegram water management is expected to quickly grow. Quote, "The companies that have the water do not have capacity to deal with it, so Danos is able to offer services to manage the water assets," they told a Reporter Telegram by email. The contract offers the opportunity for Danos to, quote, "get a foot in the door with other companies," the officials wrote.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, June 22nd, 2024. Religion. Parable of the Talents shows necessity of responsibility. Rich Man Chastised His Unproductive Servant by Bob Campbell. Jesus told the parable of the talents in Matthew 25:14-30 to show that people should take the abilities that God bestows and make the most of them. A talent at that time was an 80-pound bag of gold. So it was a very rich man who, before taking a trip, entrusted one servant with 5 talents, another with 2, and a third with 1, and returned to learn that the first 2 servants had each doubled the money, while the third had buried his and not increased it. The first 2 servants were rewarded, but the third was severely chastised. Ministers Joshua Reef and Travis Walker say responsibilities come with gifts. One thing people miss here is that every human being has an intrinsically great value in their humanity, which carries the image of God, said the Reverend Reef, pastor of Southside Baptist Church in Monahans. The parable mirrors the essential ability, value, and power of being human. So a lot of people look at this and wonder, what talent do I have? Or what can I do in church? But it is really about more than that. The value is our complete humanity and our ability to make a difference in the world. Reef said Jesus was teaching that a responsibility comes with being given the greatest gift of life in the image of God. It's not as if you get to keep 10 bags of gold and go create your own kingdom, he said. The good servants are invited to share in God's happiness, in God's kingdom. The reward is closeness with the King. What he wants to do is share. God shared his image with us, and in the end, he wants to share his happiness with us. He wants us to live wholehearted lives of our own with the gifts he has given us. Being given a gift and squandering it is disappointing all the way around. Walker, minister of Billy Hext Road Church of Christ, said God holds people accountable. Our abilities are our time, our talent, and our treasure, and we have to use them doing what God wants us to do so that people see the light of Christ through our lives and actions, Walker said. We are held accountable if we use our gifts in the wrong ways. Walker said Christians should ask themselves, am I doing all I can to obey God and be a light in this community to the people I interact with? He said many church members are too reticent to take a leadership role. Someone might or might not have the ability to do something, but that doesn't mean they can't work at it and train and get better, Walker said. Some are afraid of getting up in front of people, but there are other places where they could serve that are important in the church. It's easy to say, I'm not as talented in that area as the other person, or I don't have financial blessings like the other person. It's about looking at what you have and asking, what can I do with it? The older we get, we might not have the same abilities that we had when we were younger. God is Always Good, by Reverend Landon Coleman, pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church. When do you find yourself reflecting on the goodness of God? In what circumstances do you find yourself caught up in the goodness of God? The obvious church answer is always. Odds are you've sat in a church and heard the preacher use these responsive words, God is good, says the preacher. All the time, says the congregation. All the time, says the preacher. God is good, says the congregation. I certainly believe that God is always good. However, I also know that in certain situations, I'm more likely to reflect on the goodness of God, while in other situations, I'm more likely to reflect on myself. Here's what I mean. I'm prone to think about the goodness of God when I enjoy sweet moments with my family. I'm prone to think about the goodness of God when I experience the presence of God in worship. I'm prone to think about the goodness of God when I receive an unexpected blessing. I'm prone to think about the goodness of God when I take in the beauty of God's creation. Those situations are all good times to reflect on the goodness of God. There's just one problem. Most of my life doesn't consist of those situations. In fact, much of my life involves circumstances and situations that could be described as mundane, frustrating, painful, discouraging, stressful, and disappointing. What about these moments? If I really believe God is always good, why don't I naturally reflect on the goodness of God when life isn't what I want it to be? The problem is me, and the problem is you. We all tend to differ from theological amnesia in life's worst moments. The Bible says sin is a reality in our lives, and sin has a way of shrinking life down to the size of your life. Sin causes us all to turn inward in moments of frustration and pain and stress. Sin leads us to focus on ourselves and our circumstances instead of God, who never changes. These moments, the ones when you don't naturally reflect on the goodness of God, are the moments you desperately need to remember that God is always good. If your heart doesn't naturally turn to the goodness of God, you must develop the habit of preaching to yourself in moments of crisis. The prophet Jeremiah shows us how to do this very thing. Jeremiah preached to himself. Go back and read Lamentations. Consider the horrendous circumstances of Jerusalem under siege, and hear Jeremiah preach these words to himself. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. Lamentations 3:22-25. When life takes you by surprise in a good way, you'll naturally find yourself rejoicing in the goodness of God. That's a great thing. Talk about the goodness of God with your family. Post about the goodness of God on social media. God certainly is good in the best moments of life. Just remember, when life takes a turn for the worse, God is still good. His love never ceases. His mercies never end. He is faithful. He is good. These are the truths you need to walk through the dark moments of life. So when they don't naturally come rushing into your mind, preach these truths to yourself. And remind yourself that God is always good. Features from the Bible. Truth in Scripture. 3 Kings of Israel. 1 Kings 16. Elah. When Asa, king of Judah, was in the 26th year of his reign in Judah, Elah, son of Baasha, became king of Israel, and he reigned in Tirzah 2 years. Zimri, one of his officials, who had command of half his chariots, plotted against him while Elah was in Tirzah getting drunk in the home of Arza. Zimri came in and struck him down and killed him. Then Zimri succeeded him as king. Zimri. As soon as Zimri began to reign and was seated on the throne, He killed off Baasha's whole family, not sparing a single male, whether relative or friend, according to the word of the Lord spoken against Baasha through the prophet Jehu. Zimri reigned in Tirzah 7 days. The army was encamped near Gibbethon, a Philistine town. When the Israelites in the camp heard that Zimri had plotted against the king and murdered him, they proclaimed Omri, the commander of the army, king over Israel that very day there in the camp. Then Omri and all the Israelites with him withdrew from Gibbethon and laid siege to Tirzah. When Zimri saw that the city was taken, he went into the citadel of the royal palace and set the palace on fire around him. There he died. Omri. The people of Israel were split into two factions, half supporting Tibni, son of Ginath, for king, and the other half supported Omri. Omri's followers proved stronger than those of Tibni, so Tibni died and Omri became king. It was in the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, that Omri became king of Israel, and he reigned 12 years, 6 of them in Tirzah. He bought the hill of Samaria from Shemer for 2 talents of silver and built a city on the hill, calling it Samaria after Shemer, the name of the former owner of the hill. Omri did evil in the eyes of the Lord and sinned more than all those before him, walking in all the ways of Jeroboam. When Omri died, he was buried in Samaria, and Ahab, his son, succeeded him as king.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.